Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 38. Today, I interview Hector Colonis, founder of Included.co. Hector is growing a platform that he developed to help members of shared workspaces leverage collective buying power for discounts on commonly used products and services. In turn, his platform shares part of the savings with the shared space owner, providing a diversified revenue source for the space. This episode is sponsored by One Systems, which provides an end-to-end technology platform for workspaces. Their unique solution simplifies and centralizes the control of all IT systems to allow for a smart workplace, helping IT, HR, accounting, and employee management become more efficient than ever before. And our second sponsor is DaVinci Virtual Office Solutions. Listing your virtual office address and meeting in co-working space with DaVinci includes free global advertising, monthly recurring revenues, online reservation platform, calendar system integration, and increased variable income. What more could you ask for? DaVinci also offers live receptionist and live web chat services. If you are interested in shared workspace, mark your calendars for the Global Workspace Association's annual conference in Miami, Florida, September 11th through the 13th. Or better yet, mark it for the 9th through the 13th so that you can spend the weekend at the gorgeous One Hotel South Beach where the conference will be hosted. I visited recently to do some conference planning and it is stunning and right on the beach. And we are working on an outstanding conference program for this year. So mark those calendars, September 11th through the 13th, 2017, Miami, Florida. And the last thing before we get started, the Global Workspace Association is kicking off a series of flight groups through 2017. If you want to get first dibs on participating, text the word FLIGHT, F-L-I-G-H-T, to the number 4222 and then enter your email address when prompted. The first flight groups are for operators looking for step-by-step guidance from lease negotiation through their first year of business. Each month, we'll tackle a number of topics to help you successfully launch your space. Space in these flight groups will be limited. So if you're interested, put your phone down and text the word flight to 4222 and you'll be the first to get an email with all the details. Okay, let's kick off this interview. Hector, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super excited to be joined by Hector, the founder of Included.co. He is a talented engineer by training who found himself in the middle of the European financial crisis trying to rebuild his world and found co-working and has since done some work in creating co-working spaces and then realized that really his heart is in being an engineer and creating platforms, but still has a real passion for the co-working space. So he's created a really amazing platform that's changing the world for co-working spaces and helping them to be more sustainable. And I'll let Hector kind of share his story, the longer version of that, and how he came to be. Hector, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, that was pretty grandiose. It's been a remarkable sort of journey since, bringing the idea together, bringing it to fruition. But I guess it all kind of starts back, as you said, when, European economy was kind of taking a bit of a wrap. I was pretty much under-diversified. A lot of my engineering clients were back in Cyprus, and their kind of market imploded pretty much overnight. One Friday, the banks kind of closed, and they never reopened on Monday, kind of leading to huge, economic uncertainty. And I kind of had to look at my life and realize that I'd made quite a few wrong choices until then. I wanted to kind of figure out how I could really get back on my feet, but also give back to the other people who were pretty much distraught at what was happening around them. So yeah, we started taking over some of the empty workspaces, empty buildings that had been sort of abandoned in haste because of this collapse, and landed up creating co-working spaces, more of shared spaces than co-working spaces. Mm-hmm. And then kind of landed in the sort of system where we were helping other spaces fill their workspaces landed up becoming a sort of Airbnb for desks. And yeah, my heart just wasn't in it. As you said, it was more about how could I solve a bigger problem than just, you know, filling shared workspaces. It's an important problem to fill, to solve, but my heart just wasn't in it. And what we kind of realized was that a lot of the members of all these kind of shared workspaces had appreciated the fact that they were getting economies of scale with regards to the office, sharing, you know, meeting rooms, internet bills, that kind of stuff. But they weren't really using that for all the other bills that they had as growing businesses, from accountants to, you know, t-shirts to printing to getting logos and websites built. And that's kind of where I realized that, hey, there's something here. If we could bring together enough of these kind of shared workspaces, we could give tiny businesses pretty much unprecedented economies of scales, giving them immense savings, but also huge opportunities. And that's kind of where all the pieces came together. And I started building Included.co from back then. We're now 2 years in, and we're supporting around 10,000 members across 130 amazing spaces, really bringing together this kind of buying power and unlocking opportunities across the network.
Yeah, this is really exciting. And I know you're kind of just starting to move into the US. And I think this is just one of the huge untapped opportunities for shared workspace, because we're getting to the point where we've kind of got the community down and got the space down, but leveraging that buying power in terms of all the things that you mentioned, and then things like healthcare and that type of thing. There's so much opportunity still there. So how does it work? So if I'm both a space operator perspective and a member perspective.
Sure. From the way our kind of platform works is you have to be a member of a partner workspace. We just do that to make sure that we can reward people for sharing workspaces and for being a part of these awesome communities. So the first step is for a workspace operator or manager to upload a profile. That just allows us to make sure that the workspace is who they say they are, and also that the space is creating some sort of value in their local ecosystem. Once a workspace profile is kind of set up, there's no fee to set up a workspace profile. There's no monthly fee or membership fees or anything silly like that. The space is kind of created, and any of their members can sort of activate their accounts under that workspace. Once they've done that, they can request, offer, or browse all of the savings we have on our platform, allowing them to kind of save money through this aggregated buying model. And the workspace provider then earns revenue from these additional sales, allowing the workspace to kind of generate additional revenue that isn't tied to sponsorship or running events or meeting rooms, kind of making the workspace more sustainable in the long run whilst creating value for their members at the same time. So it's kind of about balancing that the whole dynamic of how do you create value for your members while still generating revenue from all these external sort of vendors and people trying to sell into these co-working spaces.
So you mentioned the other day that there's kind of a big variation across geographies around what products and services are purchased and popular. Kind of what are the primary types of products and services that are popular on your platform?
Sure. I mean, we're very heavily focused in the EU right now. You mentioned, we're just now expanding to the US. But across the European Union and pretty much leaning into Asia, we're definitely seeing a huge demand for insurance that covers members of co-working spaces, with policies that kind of cover walk-in laptop thefts and little silly things like that. They're not normally covered by traditional insurers. Also SaaS software, anything that's sort of cloud-based, we get great savings on them because they don't have to worry about, logistics and regional selling. So we get huge discounts on those, which allow members to kind of save a ton. So things like Xero, very popular, other sort of accounting software or marketing software, also very, very popular. As well as kind of, in London, we've been doing some pilots with some food delivery companies, really providing economies of scale for the members to get great discounts from these services, but also allow the spaces to sort of streamline their delivery process, knowing that they're going to be bringing 30 orders to one place, allowing them to sort of cut down on sort of logistics as well as pass those savings on to the members. And that's proven very, very popular in London, and what's something we really want to start doing over in the US as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, there's a huge value to the community too. We love it when people order lunch and have lunch together. But to your point, the logistics of that is sometimes a little bit messy. It's hard for community exactly. managers to coordinate. And then you see individual members sort of ordering from a handful of different providers. And yeah, lunch can be a little hectic.
It is. And I mean, I think one of the things is as soon as you bring together a bunch of different communities, it really does pass on the savings, which makes, you know, eating in or eating out, but in a lot more affordable, a lot more enjoyable, because it's not, I mean, especially in London, lunch is pretty expensive. So a lot of people try to bring, you know, packed lunches or have to go out to get something to eat. And it kind of creates a bit of a schism within sort of any sort of space or community. So we do focus on a lot of the sort of community type services and products that we can bring to these communities, things like sports, gym memberships, or anything that we kind of bring that will create and drive community as well as save members money. It's very important to us to kind of nail those as well.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So tell us about your expansion plans to the US.
Sure. I mean, we work with around 20 lovely spaces around the US, from, you know, California, Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Michigan, New Jersey. Let me see if I can get them all. New York, Tennessee, Utah, and Wyoming. So we have partner spaces across these regions. What we're really focused on now is getting clusters formed. So if we can, you know, get a lovely cluster of 10, 15 spaces out in, you know, California, another 10, 15 in Connecticut, then we can really start focusing on implementing local deals, turning on the local savings for like gym, healthcare, mortgages, you know, accountants, all the kind of regional deals that we can kind of unlock with a local cluster. And that's really what we're focusing on now. I'm kind of hoping that I'll be able to get over to the US early next year to kind of head that expansion, and really, you know, bring not only the savings that we can present to the members, but also a direct link to European and Asian markets through our network, allowing, you know, US members of all these co-working spaces to not only sell but do business with the members of the rest of our network, which I think will be a huge opportunity for all the members.
Yeah, so that's an interesting example that we didn't really talk about the other day. So can a member be on your platform as a service provider? Okay.
So yeah, anyone can kind of become a vendor. Our big dream is that a person joins a co-working space as a one-person business, scales out, graduates from the space, decides to have a few empty desks in their workspace and create a sort of secondary shared workspace for young entrepreneurs. Yeah. That's the big dream, that we can kind of facilitate that continuous flow of rewarding young entrepreneurs with the opportunity to work alongside big and fast growing established companies.
Yeah.
And so we definitely want, we try and recommend that any member who buys through our platform should also want to offer their services to other members at a discount.
Yeah, for some reason I hadn't thought about that aspect, and that just makes a ton of sense. And for those, there may be members who don't want to scale or, you know, have a full plate, but if they're looking to market, right, there's only so much you can do with members of your own space. To have a platform like that is a huge value.
Correct. I mean, you never know where your next business lead is going to come from. It could be from members within your space or the space across the road, or, you know, a space two states down, or, you know, sitting in China, South Africa, the UK or Germany. You never know, because you don't know who sits there. You don't know what they're working on.
Yeah.
So a big part of what we're trying to get right is, how do we connect the opportunities across this network so that our members can really grow with each other?
Yeah, that's a pretty picture. I love it. And I can see why you're so passionate about this project. So we talked a little bit about sort of some of the challenges that could happen around implementation for a community manager to kind of keep this platform top of mind for members.
Sure.
Can you talk a little bit about how you handle onboarding and some of the things you do to help community managers with that?
Sure. We were doing a ton of experiments, because I, as an engineer, I'm all about the data, trying to prove what works, what doesn't. And what we've seen pretty much a lot of success with is sort of jumping into the welcoming phase when a new member joins a space with an activation link that explains what the space is about and the fact that with their desk, they've got 100 plus savings included. And that's proven very, very good at onboarding new users. They sort of get it as soon as they get into the space, and it makes a ton of sense. What a lot of the experiments we're doing now is kind of around the onboarding of existing users, people who are already using, you know, the Slack or the Facebook group or whatever internal communication system is currently set up. So we're working a lot on integrating with those services, integrating with, you know, Office R&D, Nexidus, Office is another one, slipped my mind, Slack bots. Anyway, we can sort of become part of that community. So we don't feel like we're kind of telling people to sell, telling people to buy, but are there when people are looking to buy, so we can make sure that they save money on each one of their requests. What we have seen is once a member saves money once through Included, they normally come back to Included to kind of make sure that they're not overspending on anything that they're buying. So that it's all about getting that first interaction. And we've worked a lot with some of the co-working spaces in London to test different ways of doing that. We've done Wi-Fi login screens and welcome screens. And some of the spaces, we even have a sort of like a chalkboard with the latest offers from Included written on it every week. And they all seem to be working in their own ways. But what we've realized is every community is very, very different, right? And it's all up to the community manager on how they portray the value that Included creates. And the best communities, the ones that really sort of take this and run with it, are the ones that the community manager is a trusted center of the space.
Yep.
And they used to handle all the outbound requests. So a member used to, you know, Slack them or walk up to their desk and say, hey, we're looking to get some posters printed. Where should we be looking? And they sort of start directing people to include its platform. Allowing them to sort of interact with us, and we handle all of that, freeing a lot of time for the community managers. Having said that, we did calculate that we save community managers around 96 hours a year handling both their outbound but also their inbound. I mean, if I'm sure you know better than many, is the phones don't stop ringing. As soon as you have a co-working space and you have a very vibrant community, it attracts a lot of salespeople. And those salespeople inundate the community managers and take time away from looking after the community and looking after the space into trying to figure out whether something's a good deal or not. So we've been really, really proactive in letting our partner spaces know that we will do that for them. We'll also get a better deal because we have 10,000 plus members,
right?
And then we'll also make sure that there's a revenue source from that deal. So a lot of companies trying to give what appear to be great deals to co-working spaces, which sound great on the surface, but in the long term, on this more sustainable model of it, it's not a very good deal and doesn't create any intrinsic value for both the members and the workspace.
Yeah, and it's hard to evaluate that when you're just...
Sure.
I find all the time I'll look at an email and think, you know, sort of have that big debate in your head. What do I do with this? Do I delete it? Do I want to look into it? It's going to take a phone call. You know, it's just...
Exactly.
But then if I ignore it, what if it's really, you know, good and I've ignored something helpful? And then the other thing that I see happening now, which I feel like is a newer approach, is I think it's probably just easier. People are finding the co-working lists and email lists, and, you know, you'll get the email about a service. And if you delete it or don't respond, you get another one in a couple of days, and then another one. Like, people are kind of stalking. And I really don't like the approach. I get the persistency. So then you basically feel like you have to respond to get them to stop. And I love the idea of responding and saying, listen, you know, we have a central platform we use for that. Here's who you talk to. And just have that sort of template response ready to go. And to your point, it just saves a ton of time. And then you feel like you've acknowledged someone who's trying to reach out to you with a solution.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of the deals that we kind of get referred to us from co-working spaces, we find that, it's pretty much just a continuous sales pitch. There is no real understanding for what the members of a co-working space need.
Yeah.
One of the ones that we always see is, you know, development houses trying to sell apps and web design and that kind of stuff to the members of co-working spaces, not realizing that these guys normally are at the very early stages of their business, or they're very tech focused, which means they don't need the service that they're being sold. Yet it's just a complete misunderstanding of the market or the community that lives within these spaces. And I mean, if we have to do that conversation 100 times a day, telling people why their product or their offering won't fit the communities of these shared workspaces, we're happy to do it because it saves that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather have a 10-minute conversation with an arrogant salesperson than know that 100 co-working spaces
are right, having the same one. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not to say that they won't try, but giving our partner spaces that weapon to say, yeah, thank you, it sounds great, please speak to included, it really starts like slowing down that onslaught of continuous sales forces trying to knock down the doors who see co-working spaces as gold mines as opposed to communities who are actually passionate about building things.
Yeah. So we keep using the term co-working, but there's no reason this platform can't work for shared spaces that don't refer to themselves as co-working spaces, right?
Exactly. I mean, we started pretty much focusing on anything that was shared, any type of workspace that could be shared, whether it's an office who has 3 empty desks and makes them available to young entrepreneurs. We want to reward that office, that space, and those members for sharing their time and their space with other businesses. And the reason behind that is that I truly believe that there's so many hidden benefits of working alongside other passionate people, and we want to reward that. So whether it's a serviced office, a co-working space, a shared office, or, you know, pretty much any type of a community that works side by side, yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't use our platform. Right now, we are heavily focused on co-working, shared workspace, and serviced offices.
Yep.
But there's no reason why in the future we couldn't expand out to supply and support more of the shared work, the sharing economy, or the gig economy down the line.
Makes complete sense. So we just registered with you, and it was a very straightforward process, and it allowed us to participate in the Secret Santa, which was very exciting. I'm pretty pleased with our trick. We found an Etsy supplier that's in Germany, so
lovely.
That we could. Yeah, I don't know if it'll quite make it by Christmas, but we'll be pretty close. So that's really fun. So if someone wants to register on your site, they just go to included.co and go to the list your workspace and get started, right?
That is it, exactly. We do moderate all of our listings, so we do want to speak to a community manager, or at least have a quick chat with the community manager before we publish anything live. We also take a lot of time to kind of go through the profile to make sure that it reads right, but it looks as good on our platform than it is in real life. And then as soon as it's published live, you kind of get sent back 2 links. One is what strangers or non-registered users will see about the space. We might as well give the space, you know, some good exposure for being part of our network.
Mm-hmm.
And the other link is for your members. That's where they can land on to, you know, activate their accounts, request offers, offer their own offers, or if we don't have an offer that sort of exists already, instead of trying to guess what the members want, we allow them to request anything through what we call the concierge. So if one member needs something, it's highly likely that other members in the network will need the same or similar service. So by getting that sort of feedback in, we go and negotiate in the background and return the offer to the members.
Great. I love it. Your crowdsourcing, it's perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Hector, thank you so much for walking through how your platform works and for your passion behind this. I think there's just so much opportunity for this, and I'm excited that you are heading, doing a bigger expansion into the U.S. next year. We're looking forward to that. So
thank you very much.
If you want to learn more and list your space, included.co is where to go.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me on the show. It's always been one of my dreams to go into the co-working world, to have a chat and definitely share what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Good. Well, we're excited about the work you're doing, and thanks for joining us during a busy holiday week, and we will talk to you soon.
See ya.
Thanks, Hector.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.